thank you for listening to Food And, the official podcast of the gastronomy program at Boston University. I'm your host, Nema Siobhata. September marks the return to campus for many students and faculty this fall semester, which can bring up so many different emotions and responses. Along that same thread, September is Mental Health Awareness Month, with the first week dedicated to suicide awareness. Time dedicated to discuss and gain understanding of this sensitive and often stigmatized subject. In particular, within the hospitality industry, suicide awareness came into the spotlight in 2018 after the death of Anthony Bourdain. Now more restaurants are aligning with mental health initiatives to rehabilitate the workplace and create spaces for open dialogue and frequent check-ins with workers in hopes of reducing the loss of lives. This leads us to our special guest, Patrick Mulvaney, Executive Chef of Mulvaney's B&L, a prolific figure in the restaurant and hospitality industry in Sacramento, California, and founder of I Got Your Back. To some degree, we may have encountered someone that has suffered with a mental health crisis, or perhaps presently they're dealing with such a crisis. Here at Boston University, Student Health Services provide a guide in helping someone in distress and established Terrius Connect, a training program that teaches members of the BU community to identify signs of distress. What were the reasons that led you to start I Got Your Back?
So in 2018, in the hospitality industry in Sacramento, over the course of the year, we had 18 suicides, people dying by suicide, and started early in the year. And so we as chefs and owners and restaurateurs got together to say, as we got together, we would say, what's our role in this, right? Have we contributed? Certainly. How can we make it better? What is there to do? We started reaching out to our customers to say, what can we do? And many of them, the health field and the political field and mental health people said, yes, we can help. Let's go. Let's put something together. As that was happening, there was a chef in town called named Noah Zonka. His family lets me tell the story. Noah was beloved by everybody, you know, everybody's favorite chef. He's a knucklehead, great cook. But he started to drift off in the last few years. And as we're putting together, starting to talk about what would become I Got Your Back, I called his mother, to say, where's Noah? No one's seen him, you know, and she wrote back. I was hoping she'd say, he's with me in Madison in rehab. You'll see him soon. He loves you. She wrote back and said, we don't know where he is. I haven't seen him in over a year. And we think he's homeless and living at the river. And if you see him, tell him you love him. I love him and that I'll do the same. And 3 weeks later, they found him. He was at the river. His body had been there for a while. And so everybody saw, like, the outpouring, right? So we said to his mom and his son, who now works for me, hey, we want to have a memorial. We know that you don't want to have this, but we, our family, our restaurant family needs the help and we want to gather. And so we did, with about 200 people who came, and she said that was fine. And everybody got to see just how much this affected us, right? It affected the whole community. So the two things that came out of it were, one, we had buy-in from the community who saw that mental health hurts and that it was okay if Patrick Mulvaney or, you know, whoever else is talking about this, maybe it's okay for me too. Second thing that happened is my friend who's in the health world peripherally drove up to see how we were doing, check in. And I said, told him what was going on. And he said, that's it. I have a conference of health CEOs coming to Sacramento in October. And I told them I want a scar left on the city of Sacramento, right? Most conferences come in, they meet, this is nice, we had drinks, boom, we're out. And he said, and you're it, mental health for hospitality. And so they came to Sacramento. So the focus of their conference, I moved from a small speech at the end to the keynote. And they spent 3 days on it, right? And 18 groups, and those ideas turned to five, and they pitched us with a dolphin tank style thing. And what came out of it was what is now I Got Your Back. Leaders saying it's important to change the conversation, providing peer resources and ears, right? And referrals, and then having the online resources or knowing where to send people. And we had already done much of it, right? Restaurateurs had already said, this is important, this has to change. You have the peers in restaurants, right? You know, Yana the doula, Dan the crazy bartender, Kevin the big fuzzy chef, that you're gonna talk to anyway. And then the resources, we built the website. The reason it worked is because my wife is brilliant. And she said, if we don't talk about this all the time, it's not gonna be effective. She took an empty tea box, put four colors of construction paper on the outside and drew faces. Happy, neutral, angry, and in the weeds. And when you come in two or three times a week, couple times a month, you drop in a card next to your POS, next to the POS system. Just, that's it, right? Don't think about it, just put in, how you doing today? Line up when we gather together, here are the specials, here's who's coming in, here's the temperature of the restaurant. 9 happies, 2 neutrals, 1 angry, but there's 3 people in the weeds. And what are we gonna do to have a successful night as a team? If you are in the weeds, what can we do for you to make sure you have a successful night? And what are you gonna learn from tonight so that next time when you're not in the weeds and someone else is, you can help them? That's it. Then the magic happens. Peeling onions, picking herbs, making stock, pulling out mats, shining, buffing silverware. Then the real conversation starts to happen, right? And opens up that ability to say, hey, how are you? And so over the years, what we've distilled it down to now is that it's turned into, because I'm from New York, right? So we say, how you doing? And it turned from how you doing to how are you, comma, really? And the space between the comma and the really is the invitation for you to reach out.
The New Yorker reported, of all occupations, the hospitality and restaurant industry reports the 3rd highest rate of heavy alcohol use, 11.8%. The highest rate of illicit drug use, 19.1%. And the highest rate of substance abuse disorder, 16.9%. However, this data can be skewed by workers in self-reporting these harmful disorders. How does your program support and build confidence in restaurant workers towards authentic self-reporting without risk of losing their job or losing their trust?
We wanted to make sure that it's not just suicide and people who are focused on their fields, right? And so 12-steppers, alcohol and drug abuse people focus on that. But for us, there was 2 things. One was that mental health is a spectrum. Wherever you feel pain on that spectrum, that pain is valid. Anxiety, depression, substance use for sure, self-harm, or ultimately suicide. And so we wanted to make sure that we were honoring it for 2 reasons. One, your pain is real. And 2, if we can get you in on a discussion about not sleeping, feeling depressed, feeling anxious, and it is, that you have an issue with substances, if we begin the conversation, maybe we can get there more quickly or more easily. And that actually is just a feeling of trust. So for sure, the first couple of months for us of talking about mental health issues, people were reticent to open up. And then as I started talking about my own experiences and seeing a psychiatrist and medication or whatever, and people started to talk about it, and they saw it with Noah, right? They saw when Noah passed away. In Christmas of 2018, it was brutal. We lost 4 people to death by suicide in 4 weeks. A former cook, a bartender, best man at a bartender's wedding, another bartender's wedding. And on Christmas Eve, Cassie, whose family lets me tell the story, died by suicide. So when we gathered people together after the Christmas break to say, I didn't actually know what to say, right? But I wanted everyone to know and everyone to have the same information so that it wasn't a surprise to any of them. So I brought them all together to say, this is what happened. Cassie's passed. How did it happen? You know what? Doesn't matter, right? What matters is that we acknowledge that we're sad and we try to see what we can do for her family right now. But what I saw the group do is leaning in. This one's not communicative enough. That one's over communicative. Turns out that that Noah's son was working for us, right? And everyone was concerned. Now, Ivani lets me tell the story too. How's Ivani dealing with that, right? How is he going to do it? Everyone was reaching in because we knew that the important piece was to lean in, listen non-judgmentally, and see what happens. You know, the truth is that we have I got your back or all these things. The most important part is allowing you to talk about it and hear yourself and to feel that you're in a community where they do that. You know, I had calls from Cincinnati, I think last year in January. They had two chefs in town who died by suicide. They were distressed. And so good news, right? Here's the people I know. So Cincinnati professors from University of Kentucky, let me know. I will come 45 minutes away to set up a listening session for everybody there. The professor who wrote literally the book on mental health issues and how to deal with them is at the Ohio State University. And he said, here's my book, here's all my work, and here's the person in Cincinnati who's going to talk to you. Resources just come out. When this happens in mental health, everyone knows to come in and lean in, right? And listen. What I told them, though, was that the value is those two gentlemen, right? They came to that decision. And while we want people not to, you know, I say sometimes, we just want to get you to tomorrow. Get you to tomorrow, then we can get you to tomorrow again. But what they left to the Cincinnati community was what Noah left to us. The community saw how broken up all their peers were and that it was okay to grieve and okay to talk about it. And from that springs the hope that if you can talk about mental illness as it happens in your community, you will open up to the idea that you can talk about your issues with people and most importantly, you can begin to work on them.
You're listening to Food And, a podcast from the gastronomy program at Boston University Metropolitan College.
Stay connected with us and learn more about upcoming events in food studies by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at gastronomy@BU.
Different factors impact the mental health of restaurant workers, but the pressure to succeed and achieve status within the food industry is apparently harmful. In 2016, French-born Swiss Benoit Violet, owner of the 3-Michelin-star restaurant de l'Hôtel de Ville, died of suicide. We may not fully understand the circumstances that led to his death, but the New Yorker reported that most of the speculation had centered on the stresses of his work and the possibility that Violet may have buckled under the pressure of trying to maintain his restaurant's lofty standards. Can you tell us, has this pressure become an inherent trait that drives a chef to achieve success, or is it becoming a stressful burden that is causing more harm than good?
So I'll tell you a story, because that's what I do. When we, as we started to get together with people, right? Noah had passed, we had had his funeral, and we had a meeting scheduled with mental health professionals and me to talk about how to move forward. I was getting on a plane to go to upstate New York, spend the weekend with 15 chefs in Glenwood, the James Beard boot camp, right? I was going back as a visiting alumni to talk about politics and food policy. But so getting on the plane, Bobbin called and said, Bourdain's dead. I want you to know before you get off the plane. And there's no place better for a chef, right, to spend than it was a wonderful weekend, right? Because to us, he was one of us, right? I didn't meet him, but he certainly, he was one of the first people that stood up and said, what you do is valuable and good. And if it is a life for you, it is a noble life. And so when we came back, we had the meeting on Tuesday. And everybody started to, well, let's have a meeting and let's do some research. And one of my friends said, chef says that his tribe likes to move fast and doesn't mind failing. So how soon can you have it? So 10 days after Bourdain died, we had 15 of the leading chefs and restaurateurs around the table talking about what to do and how we could do it. In that meeting, so during the discussion, someone said, and a couple of people said, this came up, they said, you know, Bourdain, Kate Spade, Robin Williams, we don't understand, right? They had everything. How could they and why could they? And I looked at them and I said, you know, I've spent the last week talking to friends and colleagues from around the country, and none of us in the restaurant business have asked why. We all know why, right? Not a question for us. So the truth is that in a restaurant business, you're never at perfection, and you're always, you fail every day. And we're out here treading water, just trying to keep going. And so when one of ours decides to stop swimming and goes beneath the waves, it's a shame, and it pisses me off, and it makes me cry, and I'm hurt. I understand.
Focusing now on the farm in farm to table, there are growing concerns from healthcare providers on the effect of drought and climate change on agriculture workers' mental health. NPR found research from Australia and India linking climate change to significantly higher suicide risk for farmers. In 2017, the National Farmers Union reported that farmers' net income plummeted minus 50%. This negative income impacts farming practices, the livelihoods of rural communities, and the $137 billion output of the US GDP. From your connections and relationship with local farmers and producers, have you observed similar concerns for mental health in agriculture workers?
Yes, and I'd say that they're always, is a stress there. I think that in California, that I can speak to, knowing the agriculture here, that much of that stress is related to immigration and immigration status, right? There were times when we started I Got Your Back where people that worked to me would point up to a poster or talk about something, and later on they pull me aside and say, you want to help mental health? Look at this, the drag nets that are coming out from ICE and taking us away. That will give us better mental health. And for sure, we know that from the pastors at the churches around us who face that stuff during the, and that just got worse during the pandemic, right? So the pandemic hard on everybody. But imagine if you, and we were fortunate, right? We got PPP, we got restaurant relief. We started feeding seniors and school kids and eventually got paid for them. Out here, the governor created a program called Great Plates Delivered that brought 25 million meals to seniors. More importantly, kept restaurants afloat and the farms afloat too. But think about how you would have been during the pandemic if you were not only not eligible for unemployment or the relief benefits, but you were, or maybe you were, but you were in a household that had mixed immigration status and you weren't willing to engage with the social services that were available. And there was nowhere to go, right? How does that look? And so for us, while we were concerned about our employees and the restaurants, you know, 40 restaurants in Sacramento from Great Plates Delivered got to stay open. But we were concerned about the farmers and the farm workers too. And so when that program started, there was a direct mandate from California that we were spending money on California farms, because the farm workers, for sure, who have always had it tough and are just having it tougher and aren't willing to engage with services when you offer them. But two, the farmers themselves, right? The people who struggle to stay on the farm, to see if their children want to take over or who's going to take over after them. What does that look like, right? Where is the promise? You know, as a chef for 35 years, I've said to people, come work for me and you will learn. And if this life is for you, you will have a life well lived. And the pandemic took that away. And as that takes that away from farmers, it becomes challenging. And to your point, food is something that we need every day. And so the farmer has an extra burden, right? If Mulvaney's B&L goes away, you'll still be able to feed yourself, right? But the farmers in California who are growing, you know, more than half of the fruits and vegetables that America eats, that's a responsibility. And I think for many of them places a burden on them to try and see how. So when you get to the point when you say, how do I keep going, right? If you're out there treading water and you're saying, I'm just going to stop. It's not only your family, it's not only your employees, but it's the people around the country that you feed. So it's a challenge.
Thank you for listening to Food And. You can learn more about our guests on our blog at sites.bu.edu/gastronomy.
Connect with new friends and get updates on new events and food studies by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at gastronomy@BU.
Communication is key in building stability, comfort, and trust with each other. And the same can be said of food. If you were to plan a special dinner party to raise awareness about suicide prevention and mental health, what would be on the menu and whom would you invite?
So if I was going to organize a dinner, we're in the middle of the richest agricultural region in the world. So we make our menus based on what the farmers are bringing in. But everything gets served family style because everything comes out to the table on platters and we'll have a mix. Politicians for sure, health people for sure, restaurateurs for sure, farmers, farm workers, priests, right? I'm Catholic, but you know, priests meaning every kind of church. Coming to the table, anybody who's reaching out, and journalists, right? Everybody who's reaching out into the community and just community members to come and sit around the table and talk about the issues of the day. Because we know that when you break bread, you change conversations. And it's through that idea of changing the conversation and opening up a willingness to talk that we can all move forward. So, you know, I Got Your Back is pretty cool and has helped. You know, people say it's changed the way we talk about mental health in Sacramento, which is flattering and great. But what we've seen most importantly is that our staff is engaged and more willing. And we've also seen then people in other parts of the country reaching out to create their own forms of help here. And even in Sacramento, our friend said, created something called the Verity Project, which before the pandemic was group counseling, 10 group, you join for 10 sessions, $100 so that everyone could afford it. And it was just restaurants, women in restaurants, LGBTQ, foreign born workers, like the whole spectrum. And at the end of that 10 week sliding scale, you could then move into personal counseling if you still needed it. With the pandemic, it's become, to my way of thinking, even stronger. Now you can have person-to-person Zoom contact meetings with people who are professionals, licensed mental health professionals, on a regular basis and quickly. And again, paid for on a sliding scale based on what you can offer. And so when you ask who would I invite? What does the menu look like? We invite everyone because we're in hospitality, right? And our superpower, as I've said, you know, our superpower is that we take care of people. And we know that if we can get people into a room and make them feel cared for, that they in turn go out and care for others.
Thank you, Patrick, for joining our podcast today. Can you tell us how listeners can learn more about your program and where they can go if they or someone they know is experiencing mental distress?
So the website for us is igotyourback1word.info. And thank you for asking, because this is the important part. So when we started, here's the two numbers you need to know. Over 30 suicide prevention hotline, 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255. Under 30, text 741-741. help or hope, you can just text that. Here's what happens. Someone comes on right away. First, they come on and say, go to an ER if this is an emergency. If not, you're good. And then they come on to chat. And so everyone in my restaurant has both of those numbers in their phone. And here's why. I can see someone who's challenged and we go back behind the dumpster and they're having a smoke and say, hey, you're not looking too good. Do you want to talk to someone? I'm not the guy to talk to. I'm not a professional, but there are people out there. Here, give me your phone. Do you want to talk to someone? And I type in one of the numbers and then say, and if you don't want to talk to them, can I do a practice round in front of you? And they say, sure. So I'm old, right? So suicide hotline comes on. Who's this? Hey, this is Patrick. And I'm going to put you on speaker because Ken here is having some challenges. He doesn't think he's ready yet, but he wants to know what this is available for. Hey, sure, Patrick, no problem. Okay, let's go. You know, how are you feeling? You know, what's your challenges today? Are you safe? Are you thinking of suicide? Do you have plans and do you have means? You go through. Now that those three questions, super important, super hard to ask, but everyone should and feel free to. Here's the important part though. The end of the phone call, I get to say thank you very much and hang up and hand the phone back to the person. Say, save this number. I can't be with you all the time. I'm not a professional. I can't always help you if you're going to be in crisis. And so what you're doing for me is letting me know that I've done what I can to give you the resources that you're going to need when you're facing a crisis.
Stay connected with us and learn more about upcoming events and food studies by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at gastronomy@BU.
I want to thank our guest, Patrick Mulvaney, for joining us in this episode of Food And, the official podcast of the Gastronomy Program at Boston University. I'm your host, Nema Siobhata, signing off.